Welcome to Life Study of the Bible with Witness Lee, a program provided by Living Stream Ministry and featuring the ministry of Watchman Nee and Witness Lee. Witness Lee, a servant of the Lord for over 7 decades on 5 continents, culminated his ministry with a 21-year, book-by-book exposition of the entire Bible, which he called a life study. And we're delighted to bring you short portions of this spoken ministry on today's broadcast. Now, let's join today's life study.
Joining us today is Dick Taylor.
Dick, welcome back to the program today.
Thanks. Good to be here, Chris. Good to get in on this central thought of the whole Bible.
Isn't that something?
Absolutely.
It's interesting, Dick, that we see such close parallels between these books of Romans and Hebrews. These books outwardly seem so different in style, and even their intended recipients were quite dissimilar. But God's purpose is the same for all of us, isn't it?
It sure is. His purpose is to put himself in his Son into us as the model so that he could produce many sons for his expression. In Romans, it says, in 8:29, it says, "Because whom he foreknew, he also predestinated to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brothers." So God's desire is not only with his Son as the firstborn, but with the many brothers of the Son to be the many sons of God for his expression. And then in Hebrews 2:10, you have Christ as the wonderful captain of salvation, who is busy, even during this broadcast, leading us, we, the many brothers and sons, a little further into glory so that God himself could be expressed in and through his many sons. So these two books, Romans and Hebrews, really go together to exhibit and manifest and express to us the central thought of the whole Bible, and that is God wanting many sons for his expression.
It's interesting. Romans, of course, was written to Gentile believers for the most part, the book of Hebrews to Hebrew believers.
That's right.
But God's one purpose, bringing these diverse groups of people together, but blending them into one unique purpose, that is producing sons out of sinners for his one expression.
That's true. Both books stress, no matter what kind of background we come from or what situation we're in, we need to be brought back to this central thought. The Lord's desire is many sons for his expression. We want to cooperate with him so that we could be his expression.
Let's go ahead and join Witness Lee now with today's life study from Hebrews.
The central thought of the whole scriptures is that God wants to get many sons for his expression. The way God works this out is to have, firstly, a model, a prototype made. And this prototype is God in the Son came to be a man. And this man, as the embodiment of God, lived on this earth for 33.5 years. He passed through the human living, and he has tasted all the sufferings in the human living. Then he went to the cross, and he died there. Through that death, all the old creation was terminated. All sin was solved. All the enemies, adversaries of God were destroyed. That death on the cross was an all-inclusive death, accomplishing everything for God's economy. Amen. And that was not the end. After death, he resurrected. He resurrected with his divinity and with his humanity. His divinity was expressed, manifested in full in his resurrection. And his humanity was uplifted, rather transformed from a kind of just physical form into a spiritual form. We have no word to explain. It's really a mystery. So after his resurrection, he has become such a wonderful one. I am not adequate to explain all these wonderful aspects of this wonderful person. In this wonderful person, who is today our Savior, you have the powerful, unlimited, eternal divinity. And you have also the uplifted, the transformed humanity. And in him, you also have the proper human living. And in him, you also have the all-inclusive death, the soft sin that defeated the enemy and the adversary, and also that terminated all creation. This death is so wonderful. And this wonderful death is also today included in this wonderful way. And in him, you also have the resurrection. In him, you have God, you have man, you have the human living, you have the proper human life. And in him, you have also the all-inclusive death plus the resurrection. In him, you have so much. And he is now expressing God in the proper humanity. Sin is under his feet. Satan is defeated by him. All old creation is over with him. He is such a one. This is the model. This is the model to express God. This is the model of the expression of God. I do believe the Lord Jesus this morning is here. Amen. But here, not among us, but here in every one of us.
Amen.
And we do have the model. Don't look out for the model. If you look out, you miss the model. The model is in you.
Amen.
And the model is working there. The model is moving there. The model is doing something there. The model today is a living person. And this living person comes into you, you become the Son of God, but you still don't look like the Son of God.
Dick, this is a concept that we have touched before, but one that is still probably new to many. And that is that Christ, in his incarnation and resurrection, has become a kind of model or prototype. Explain the basic thought behind this analogy.
By incarnation, Christ became a man. He's the very God with divinity, but he became a man with humanity. This wonderful God-man passed through a long process. Part of his process was the human living. For 33 and a half years, he perfectly expressed through his human virtues all the divine attributes of God and his divinity. God needed this model because God's desire was always to have his expression in and through man. So here's a man expressing God. Then this wonderful God-man, through his human living and tasting even the suffering of human living, then went to the cross. And this was also a wonderful matter because through his all-inclusive death, he solved every single problem in the universe. He solved the problem of sin. He defeated Satan, according to Hebrews 2:14. He destroyed him who has the might of death, that is the devil. And he has broken down all the barriers between us. And he has crucified the flesh and abolished the old creation. So many negative things were taken care of through his all-inclusive death. But it didn't stop there. This wonderful one, then in resurrection, became the firstborn Son of God. And in resurrection, he possesses his powerful, unlimited, eternal divinity. But he also possesses his uplifted, transformed humanity. And this one in resurrection is now God's prototype. He is God's model for the God-man life and the God-man living. This one in resurrection completely expresses God in his humanity. And now, when we come to this model, when we turn our heart to him and just say, Lord, I need you. I open my being to you. We enjoy everything that's in this model. Divinity, humanity, the human living, the all-inclusive death, the abolishing of the old creation, the removing of sin, the defeat of Satan, and the powerful resurrection with a perfect expression of God in humanity through the transformed, uplifted humanity of Christ as the firstborn Son of God. This is the model, and this is the prototype. In Him is everything. We just have to thank the Lord for such a model.
Dick, this thought is not typically a religious one. This is a thought that takes a little expanding of our comfort zone. But the truth that it conveys is too marvelous.
Amen.
We're going to see a real contrast of this kind of way of viewing God's purpose contrasted with an older way in our next section. Let's join Witness Lee.
In today's factories, firstly, they make a prototype model. Then they have the mass production according to that prototype. Well, in a good sense, this wonderful Christ is a prototype. But listen to this. God is not to make all of us according to Him. Not in this way. Now, what is God's way? God's way is to put this prototype into you. Not to do something over you according to that design. God puts that model design into you, a living model. And this model, this prototype, is a living person. And this living model, as a living person, includes, consists of divinity, humanity, human living, the death on the cross, and resurrection. All these wonderful items. He consists of all these coming into your being. This is God's way. The human way, the religious way, is to correct you from without, to improve you from without. But God's way is to put Christ into you. God put this wonderful person into the very center of your being. He put the model into your being. And then, if you would agree with, if you would cooperate, if you would open up yourself, He would spread out from within again and again. No imitation, but the spreading of the model. Altogether, this is what the Bible says, the sonship. He came into you as the Son, to be the life of the Son in you. Or you may call it, according to Romans 8, the spirit of sonship in you. You do have a sonship making you the real sons. And this sonship is just this wonderful model, the wonderful prototype. Because this prototype is the Son. So you have the life of the Son, the spirit of the Son. You have the sonship within you. Just like the pure water in the glass. Now, when we make the tea, we put the tea bag into the water. The tea will saturate the water, flying out. Mingle with the water, then you get a tea water. Today, it is all together not a matter you do something. It is all together not a matter you follow Jesus. Today, all together is a matter of the saturation of the sonship. The sonship, just like the tea, the sin has come into you. This Son is the very sonship. The life of the Son is He. The spirit of the Son is He. The position of the Son is He. The right of the Son is He. He is altogether the sonship. And this sonship is in you, waiting for a change to spread. Waiting for your cooperation. Waiting for your willing opening.
Dick, this matter of how God is utilizing the prototype to gain the many sons really needs more of our attention, I think. Witness Lee mentioned God's way and also man's way, the religious way. Contrast these two for us so that we can see clearly how God is operating today in his economy.
I think two words would sum this up, Chris. The words are without and within. Man's way is to just try to outwardly imitate this wonderful prototype. It's wonderful to see Christ as the prototype. And today he's in resurrection, perfectly expressing God in his humanity as a God-man. And Satan's defeated. Sin is solved. The world is terminated. He's resurrected. He's living. He's everything. He's wonderful. It's one thing to see this, but we don't want him just to be without. Otherwise, we just try to outwardly imitate him. So the wonderful thing in the Bible is that not only did Christ become the prototype by becoming the firstborn Son of God, at the same time, when he was resurrected from the dead, he became a life-giving spirit. So that he, as the model, he as the prototype, could be put into us. He could come into us as our life. Now, in a factory, generally you have a prototype, and then you have the mass production of that prototype. And they're all similar to the prototype outwardly. But that is not a satisfactory analogy for God's economy. Christ is the prototype, and God is not just doing something over us to kind of make us outwardly like him. But God's way is to put Christ, this life-giving prototype and model, into us so that he can saturate us and spread himself in us to make us his reproduction and his increase. So this is fantastic. God's way is to put himself in the Son into us so that he, as life, can saturate and permeate and spread everything that he is as the model and prototype into our being to make us the many sons of God in a completed way for the fulfillment of God's desire with sonship, so that he could be expressed. If you try to imitate him, you just have something without. But if you take God's way, you have something within. God's way is to come into us in the Son as life. Let's open to him and coordinate with him in this way.
Dick, in a recent life study that we were discussing, Witness Lee, in talking about this concept, said that if we take the old way, in effect, we have imprisoned Christ within us. We've received him, he's in there, but we have in effect bottled him up and put him in prison. Whereas what you're talking about is this one within really being set free to spread into every aspect, corner, facet of our being so that we become his real expression.
That's right. It's like the tea bag is put into the water so that the tea can spread into the water. Otherwise, you have water trying to imitate a tea bag. Maybe a poor analogy, but you can't imitate Christ. He has no sin. He's completely defeated Satan. Are you like that? He's got powerful, unlimited, eternal divinity. He's got the proper, uplifted, transformed humanity. Are you like that? Can you imitate that one? No way. You need to open to him as the prototype, since he's in us as our life.
Dick, let's go back to more of Witness Lee.
Hebrews is a book for sonship, because Hebrews tells us, firstly, the only begotten Son became the firstborn. And then this firstborn regenerated many sons. And now this firstborn is the model in perfection, in completion, even in glorification. He is perfect, completed. But now we, the many sons, though we have the sonship within us, are not perfected, completed, and glorified in the sonship. Now we are in the process of being perfect. We are in the process of completion. We are in the process of transformation and glorification. Romans is also a book on the same thing, especially Romans chapter 8. How much the completion of the sonship is, it depends how much we would be willing to be conformed to the image of Christ. Now, the problem is not you do something. Now the problem is whether you are willing or not willing to be conformed to the image of the firstborn. You say, I'm willing. Do you know how to be willing? So you need to read Romans 8 again. Romans 8 is a treasure store. All the riches are here. You have the law of life. You have the sonship. You have the confirmation. How do I know that in Romans 8 we have the sonship? Because 14, 15, 16, all these three verses tell us something clearly concerning the sonship. It says, as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. And we have received the Spirit of sonship. How do we know this? Because the Spirit witnesses with our spirit. We do have a strong witnessing, a strong testimony deep within us that we are the children of God. Amen. The Spirit of sonship, that is Christ himself, is right now in your spirit, witnessing with your spirit, and your spirit witnesses also that you are one of God's children. Regardless how bad you are, regardless how much you have been defeated as a Christian, you do know, you do have the assurance in your spirit that you are a son of God. We all have the assurance that we do have the sonship. But don't stop here. Romans chapter 8 doesn't stop here. It goes on. It starts with the law of life in verse 2. Then it goes on to the sonship in verses 14, 15, and 16. Then it continues to go on in verse 29, that says, we are now conformed to the image of the firstborn son of God. We are now being conformed. Yeah. How to be conformed? To have your mind set on the Spirit, this is the way. The mind set on the Spirit is life. Every time in your daily life, when your mind is off the Spirit, stop. In doing everything, in seeing everything, in living, in being, you must be sure that your mind is on the Spirit.
Dick, if we combine these two portions, we have the prototype Christ put within us, working from within to constitute us sons of God. Plus, we have the encouragement for us to set our mind on the Spirit, to keep ourselves in the process of being conformed to the image of His Son. Practically, Dick, how are these two things related?
It's one thing for Him to be in us as the prototype, infusing, saturating, spreading Himself within us. And on the other hand, it's another thing for us to cooperate with Him. So these two come together mainly by our practicing to set our mind on the Spirit. We must set our mind on the Spirit because our sonship is not completed. We have not reached the point of maturity. We have the Spirit of sonship. We have Christ. We have the Spirit of the Son, the life of the Son, the right of the Son. And we could say we're sons of God, but do we look like sons? Not yet. So the sonship needs to be completed. He's in us, spreading. And we need to set our mind on the Spirit so that we can cooperate with Him to come into the completion and the maturity of our sonship. To name His name in love, just to call out to Him, opening to Him, is really a big, big help to our setting our mind on the Spirit, to cooperate with Him as the model and the prototype who is inwardly saturating us and spreading Himself within us to make us sons of God in a completed way for the fulfillment of His eternal purpose. So these two really are related. He's working within, but we need to cooperate without by setting our mind on the Spirit.
Dick, your use of this term in a completed way was interesting. You could use, I guess, an analogy of a father who happens to be maybe a mighty corporate tycoon who has a son, and there's a day coming when the son will step into those shoes and inherit, not just inherit, but be responsible even in that operation. In a sense, the son is there from the day of birth, but there's a waiting and anticipation for the completion of this sonship, and that's really the process we're in, isn't it?
That's right. We want to become the full sons and the full heirs. Right now, we're still too much like children, but at least we have the Spirit of the Son witnessing that we are children, and we have Christ as the Spirit of sonship, and we want to cooperate with Him to full maturity.
We worship Him and praise Him for the sonship in whatever stage we are at, and we anticipate the full sonship in that day.
Amen. We do.
Dick, thank you for joining us again today. Good fellowship, another wonderful life study. We've got just a few more to go in the book of Hebrews. For Dick Taylor today, I'm Chris Wilde. Thanks very much for listening.